It's Tuesday, August 23rd, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state, as I always do, that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. I'd like to welcome our producer tonight, Adam Sumbler, to the program.
Afternoon.
Let me begin with the weather for tomorrow, August the 24th. Partly cloudy in the morning, thunderstorms developing later in the day, and a high of 28.
I mean, that's a little bit of reprieve. It's been like 35 for way too long.
You know, I was saying to someone in the church today, and I don't know, I'm not a meteorologist, but I feel like the humidity level is higher than normal.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I think it was last week, there was one day, wake up in the morning, it was just humid.
Yeah, that's unusual for Creston, isn't it, to have this level of humidity?
Yeah, it reminded me of like the terrible Ontario humidity.
Oh, yes, Ontario. Well, you know, speaking of Ontario, growing up in Toronto, this is the weather. It's sunny, it gets hotter, 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 humid, thunderstorms, cool, build up again, sunny, thunderstorms, and then that's basically the weather all summer, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here in the beautiful Creston Valley, and we're so excited about the program tonight. We know that we have some interesting stories, and the first one really begins in Creston, Adam.
Exciting.
In Creston, the BC Nurses Union says it's concerned about the potential for more emergency room closures at the Creston Valley Hospital.
Scary. We talk about this every week.
The local ER twice closed overnight in the last month due to staffing shortages, and the union fears it will continue to happen unless immediate measures are taken to recruit and retain nurses.
Yeah.
Vice President Adriana Gear, I hope I spelt that right or pronounced that right, was in Creston on Tuesday to meet with members. This is her quote. "We're worried that they're not able to provide appropriate care to patients because there's just not enough nurses," she said. Let me repeat that, folks. Now, this is not somewhere far away in Ontario. This is not in Newfoundland or Alberta or Vancouver, Adam. This is right here in our own town here in Creston.
Yep.
The vice president says we're worried they're not enough, not able to provide appropriate care to patients because there's just not enough nurses.
I believe it. I believe it. I hear the stories. I know of one nurse so far that has starts work in September in Alberta as a nurse.
You know what? And I would imagine she's unvaccinated.
Correct. Yep. 100%.
So we're losing all of these good nurses, these young nurses, to Alberta.
Yep.
Because they're willing to take unvaccinated nurses and put them into practice.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know what? This is scary.
It is scary. Yep.
When I read this story today, and I realized that it was centered in upon our own local hospital.
Yeah.
It really put shivers down my back.
Yeah, it hits close when it's close to home, right? Like, you actually understand the consequences when you may not have the service you need when you're dying.
Exactly. And we have a large population that is elderly or older. And, you know, someone has a heart attack. You know, we've talked about this many times on this program. Someone has a heart attack or someone is in desperate need of medical help, aid, and they go to the emergency room, and it's shut down. It's really shut down. Now, they're saying here, this will continue to happen in Creston.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. Yeah. I wonder how much notice they give. I'm not sure. It could be a matter of hours, a day, maybe. I don't know.
I think it comes down to if nurses pick up the shifts, right? So the way that, to my knowledge, the way that it works is that they're short nurses, but they do call-outs. And if there's nurses that will pick up the shifts, then emerge stays open. But if no one answers the phone because, well, they're busy with their lives or they need a break or...
Exactly.
Or whatever, then emergency will not be open. So it could be less than like 12 hours notice.
Now, you know, it's a bit of a vicious circle here. You know, when you talk about the solutions to the nursing problem, they're saying here, unless measures are taken to recruit.
Recruit
new nurses. Where are they planning to get them from?
I don't know.
You know, are they coming from Mars? Or you know, where are they coming from? They're definitely not coming from the States.
Nope.
They're not going to come from Alberta.
No. Nope.
So, you know, where are they coming from? Where are they going to recruit these people? They have to spend so many years training.
Yep.
It's 3 or 4 years, right?
Correct, yep.
And... so far, you know, the amount of recruitment they get from those graduating is small.
Yeah, and it's even sad. Like, I know of another nurse who, she wasn't a nurse yet, she was a student nurse, and she had like 3 months left in her practicum before the mandate happened for nurses, and she couldn't finish her schooling, her practicum. But I was talking to her dad the other day, and she's thinking about, guess what?
Going to Alberta.
So
going
she,
to Alberta.
She just spent a ton of money. Like, she's in debt because she paid to go to nursing school, and she hasn't finished because she needs to finish her practicum. And do you think she's going to stay here and pay off this debt that she can't use? No, she's going to go to Alberta.
Exactly.
She's going to finish her schooling, get a job there, and live a happy life.
You know what I don't understand? I mean, is there an Alberta virus and a BC virus? Like, I mean, isn't it the same virus?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why don't they just bring back those unvaccinated nurses here in BC? Why doesn't somebody humble themselves and say, you know what? We've come to a point where this is dangerous. It's a crisis.
Yeah.
It's a crisis.
It absolutely is, yeah.
And I heard the federal health minister today talk about it on CBC News. He says it's a crisis. Well, we all know that. Yeah. We all know that. So why doesn't Bonnie Henry, why doesn't Adrian Dix humble themselves and say, listen, we need every single nurse that we can get, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference right now. Really, when you think about it, if you've got 2 doses of the vaccine, it's not going to help you against Omicron.
No. Nope.
It's not going to help you against any variant that's going to come about.
Nope.
So thinking that you're safe because you have 2 doses, I'm getting worked up, Adam.
Absolutely.
Getting worked
this
up.
This is something to get worked up
it
about.
It is something to get worked up about because people are going to die because they can't get to the ER. They have to travel somewhere else.
Yep.
And our federal politicians and our provincial politicians are keeping all the doors closed, even though we've got hundreds of unvaccinated nurses probably ready to work. Although I don't know for sure, they've been treated like dirt.
Yeah.
But you kind of wonder if they would even be willing to come back. But if they are, bring them back.
And I was just going to say that. Like, I know I know some of the nurses that were fired, and you already see them doing other jobs, doing other things that are, you know, why would they go back to this sort of, like, abusive relationship that they've been through with the government?
Well, you know... You know, for the BC Nurses Union, their vice president, to be in Creston to deal with this issue and talk about it means it's serious.
It is serious. Absolutely.
It's beyond a crisis.
Yeah.
And again, because we live in a community with a lot of older people, we need to make sure that our ER is open 24/7.
Yep.
I don't know what more I can say about this. I mean... It's just heartrending.
Yeah.
It's heartrending when you think about it. You know, on a similar community story,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it seems to me that every time I open up the Advance newspaper, and I do get the Advance newspaper every Thursday. If it's not Thursday, it comes early Friday. And I read through it. I go through it with a fine-tuned comb.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that they're always looking for somebody. You know,
oh, like criminals.
Yeah, criminals. Yeah, they're looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Now, the Mounties are looking for a BC man accused of sexual interference of a minor and sexual assault. It's a 71-year-old man,
mm-hmm.
Oliver O'Langelid. Hope I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
Was last known to be in Creston.
Yeah.
Mounties said he's accused of interference of a person under 16, and again, of sexual assault.
Disgusting.
It is. It is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, it seems to me every week I open up the Advance newspaper, I see a picture of somebody that they're looking for, and they're in Creston. It seems to be happening on a regular basis, and you kind of wonder what's going on in this little town of Creston.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't keep your doors locked at night.
Well, I do, but...
Okay.
It's sort of funny, though, because, like, I grew up in Ontario, and a small town in Ontario to start, my parents never locked their doors. Then when we moved to London, Ontario, my parents still never locked the doors.
Really?
Yeah, but... And I do lock my doors. I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit more fearful of... You know, what could potentially happen. But
right.
I did grow up my whole life, even in a big city, never locking our doors.
You kind of wonder what's going on. But, you know, again, this seems to be a regular, consistent theme.
Yeah.
I open up the paper. It's usually the second or third page of the Advance newspaper, and I see somebody's picture. Well, and underneath of it, RCMP looking for this individual.
They did find the last guy.
They did.
Yeah, they did find the last guy, who's the guy who burnt down someone's house. So, that's good.
I think it is good,
Adam. Got one off the street.
I think that is very good, and I commend the RCMP for doing their work.
Yeah.
This is what these police officers are called to do. Get criminals off the streets.
Exactly.
Right? Get criminals off the streets. Well, Nova Scotia has confirmed its first case of monkeypox.
It's in the East Coast now.
It's in the East Coast. Well, hey, listen. This is the second confirmed case of monkeypox in the Maritimes. New Brunswick reported its first confirmed case on April the 12th.
Hmm. That's a long time apart from each other.
Yeah. But the first... And they're saying that it wasn't, you know, in Nova Scotia that the person was infected. They came from outside of Nova Scotia and came back home and brought the infection with them.
Is that the same with the person... the Lays person, like the other one as well?
I'm not sure
I'm
about
assuming,
that.
I'm assuming it probably was.
But they're saying in the U.S., staying on this monkeypox story, U.S. monkeypox cases surpass 15,000.
Wow.
Most of any country in the world.
Wow.
15,000. And you know, hey, listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Right? Because whenever there's infections and they begin to number them, you know there's a lot more.
True, yeah.
There's always a lot more than 15,000.
Yep.
Same thing in Canada. I don't know what Canada's is. I think it's over 1,000. But irrespective, it's always the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So this is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spreading mostly among men who have sex with men. We've mentioned that
before.
And that's the truth.
Yep.
That's what the major networks are saying, and I don't doubt them on that. I think it's absolutely and completely true. So we know that this has become an issue.
Yeah,
this is a situation that is developing.
Yeah,
and so we wonder, you know, why is this happening? What's taking place? How is it going to grow? How many people is it going to infect? From what I understand, I'm not sure which state, but I believe. If I'm accurate, which I think I am, there's the first child that has received monkeypox. I'm going to just step out and say it was in New York State, but you're going to double check it on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
You're going to look for that. The first child to be infected with monkeypox. And do you have the headline?
It's from CNN. What did you say?
First child, New York.
You are correct. New York State.
Oh, wow. There you go. New York State. Yeah. Okay. So my brain's still working.
So my question is, I mean, this is, I don't want to discredit monkeypox, but this fall, is it full hazmat suits?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the fall. Yeah. I mean, you got monkeypox, you got COVID-19, you've got polio that's resurfacing.
Yeah.
You know, there's at least three right there, and there's more things happening we don't even know about that are circling around the world. We're still at level three. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, Canada's still at level three. Still a lot of countries that are at level three.
Wow, of the pandemic.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine that's going to Italy.
Right.
For vacation in September. Level three.
Wow.
Level three. Mm. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but I believe as Christians, we need to be spiritually prepared for what's happening.
Right.
Well, on another note, opioids have killed more Ontarians in the second year of the pandemic than the first.
I'm laughing because... I'm not. It's bad that people are dying of drug overdoses.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong there. I'm laughing because wasn't it just in BC that they've now, or it's coming up where it's going to be like, it's going to be not criminal to be carrying small amounts of hard drugs. I think that's next year.
That's going to be the end of January. Where that's going to come into place.
We're already seeing the increase of deaths from drug overdoses. And then we're still going to be potentially moving forward these decriminalizations of small amounts of hard drugs.
Mm. I have no confidence that that's going to work. I have no confidence that any of these things are going to work. To me, it's just a shot in the dark.
No, I don't. It's not going to work.
Listen, Canada is going to get 12 million doses of Moderna's Omicron targeted COVID vaccine.
But aren't we on to, like, a different virus by now?
I don't know. But someone has got their first shot, their second shot, their third booster, their fourth booster. And apparently, that's all useless. Now, they're going to push a vaccine that targets the Omicron virus.
Yeah, I'm looking
at the variant Omicron, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, there's all kinds of variants of the Omicron as well that have developed. I think we're on number five, if I'm not...
I'm looking up right now.
Number five. Of the variant from the original strain of Omicron.
Yeah, we're on variant five.
And, you know, now, of course, Moderna is going to offer this Omicron-targeted COVID vaccine. 12 million doses. Now, I'm not trying to underplay the need for help, but the thing is, you wonder who's getting rich here.
That's the crazy thing. Like that's just the crazy thing about it is how many people who are invested in pharmaceuticals right now, especially in vaccines, is making billions off government. Absolute billions. It's crazy.
Well, you know, to get into certain universities in Ontario, I can't remember exactly. I think it's Western University. You can check it out.
Doesn't surprise me. It sounds like London.
Western University. You have to have not just two jabs. You have to have your booster. Now, you can check that out, but I think it's Western University that has said that anybody on campus, living on campus, going to school on campus, has to have two jabs and a booster. I think it's Western University, but you can double check on that.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. It'll take me a second.
Anyway, just as you're looking that up, 40,000 Army National Guard troops face vaccine deadline this week, or many could be booted out of the Army. Not in Canada.
Okay.
In the U.S.
Okay.
40,000 Army National Guard troops face vaccine deadline this week, and many could get booted out.
Hmm.
Hey, listen. This story just comes to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Junior B league in the Kootenays, right?
Yep.
There's one counted, Adam, one American team out of what's that big city in Washington? Closest to us, Spokane.
Spokane, yeah.
They could not get a team together,
right,
to enter the league because they could not find enough vaccinated players. This is a true story, folks.
That's crazy.
The team in Spokane could not find enough vaccinated players, so they had to cancel their participation in the league for at least 1 year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is it Western?
You are correct. It is the University of Western.
Wow.
Well, it's called Western now.
Western University, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's two in a row I got tonight, right?
I used
right?
to go to that university.
Did you?
Yeah. I went to it when it was called the University of Western Ontario.
Wow.
And then it was known for too much partying, so they switched it to Western to try to change the name.
Yeah, to protect the innocent.
I didn't party, but...
But can you imagine? There's not enough vaccinated players to put together a team, because, of course, they have to be vaccinated in order to cross the border to participate in games here in the Kootenays.
Yeah.
And...
Don't have enough players.
Not enough players. Okay. Well, police say the number of shootings in Calgary is up by a lot.
Yeah, I've heard.
Violence is increasing.
Violence is increasing. All violence is increasing.
Across North America.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder, you know, what's going on. You see those kinds of stats
being
played out.
Pick your poison. Is it the increase in cost of living? Everything's going up 3%, 4%, 5% daily. Well, not daily, but seems like it sometimes.
Gas! $1.89.9 here in Creston, I believe, or $1.89.4. Someone was telling me they were in Alberta a couple of days ago, and they got it for $1.34.
Whoa, that's awesome. But my loaf of bread is still super expensive.
How much is it there?
Loaf of breads right now? I think they're still close to like $3.50 or something like that. It's expensive.
How many loaves can you get for an iPhone?
that's a good puzzle. I don't know.
But, you know, this is serious.
Yeah.
And we pay so much tax, so much carbon tax.
Yep.
And the price of everything's going up continually, even though they say the inflation rate has dipped, only because gas dipped a little bit.
That's
all it is, really. Yeah. And everything else just continues to go up.
Well,
and
that's the sad thing, too, is that even though gas has come down, our products we buy are not going to come down in price because... Why would they bring it down, right? They're already charging, like, if you're the seller of, say, an iPhone, right, and you're charging $1,000, and you upped it to $1,200 for the inflation because the transport for a gas or whatever, right? But gas comes back down. Are you going to – you'll just take that profit of the extra $200, right? You're not going to bring it down. So it's the downside. When things go up, they never come back down.
Well, let's talk about MAID. That's Medical Assistance in Death. We talked about that last week on the program. So much for it remaining a rare event. Here's a statistic, Adam.
All right.
3.3% of all deaths in Canada in 2021 were assisted deaths.
Yeah. Wow.
3.3%. This has matched and surpassed the rates in places like Belgium and the Netherlands, despite it being available in Canada for less than a decade.
Wow.
You know, I know that sounds like a small amount, 3.3%. But you know what? That is a lot of people. And we talked about that last week.
We did, yeah.
It's 10,000 people in 2021.
Correct.
And we talked about the situation where someone was being pressured
because
of the cost. It was it was costing the government $1,500 a day to help him, to provide for him. And so, you know, somebody, without even thinking, thought, well, maybe he should just kill himself. I mean, I hate to laugh about it, but it's so insane.
It's crazy.
It's madness.
Yeah.
It's pure madness. You want to hear something
it's a slippery
more?
Slope. That's what it is.
You want to hear something more mad than
that? Yeah.
More madness than that? Top Trudeau government officials are claiming to be blindsided by the revelation that they awarded a $130,000 anti-racism contract to a man whose social media accounts are saturated with racial slurs and taunts.
They did great research there.
They really did a deep dive on that guy, right?
Oh, wow.
Here's somebody that was awarded $130,000 to crisscross the country, encouraging people to not be racist, but his social media accounts are saturated with racial slurs and taunts.
Great job. Research team, applaud you.
But even the barest bit of a Google search would have confirmed that Laith Maroof had a well-established history of hateful remarks.
How do you spell his name?
L-A-I-T-H. Yep. M-A-R-O-U-F. Now, I did not even a deep dive on this guy. I mean, he hates Israel. You know, all of his comments are talking about Israel and the Jewish people. You know, the Zionists. And, doesn't anyone do any research? I mean, doesn't anyone look into anyone and find out exactly what they're all about?
Yeah, I search his name here, and it's like, right now it's just filled with like all CBC and CNN because they're all doing stories on it. But I'm just trying to find out where they're first.
He calls Israel apartheid Israel. Apartheid Israel. Every one of his tweets, apartheid Israel. Apartheid Israel. He basically called some of the individuals involved in Zionism, white supremacists, bags of feces. I mean, you know, all kinds of derogatory comments. Finally, they caught up to him.
There's even this article here talking about like his tweet, like even his Twitter was filled with like racist comments of him saying stuff.
Yeah, like, mostly against Israel.
Yeah,
and so on and so forth. You know, it's just beyond me that no one would even bother to Google him before awarding him $130,000 to fight racism when he himself is instigating racism on his very own. Well, a Trojan horse for tyranny. Brussels rolling out a new digital identity system for EU citizens. Some are warning that the European Union is undergoing... Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
A Chinification.
A Chinification, they're calling
it? A Chinification.
That's a nice word.
They're looking over at China and they're saying, well, you know, they seem to be doing a good job over there. Maybe we can... put in place some of the things that they're doing, like even though they're a communist country.
The social credit system?
That's part of it, the social credit system.
You know.
You wonder what's going to happen to your money in the bank, Adam. Here's something I want to talk about for just a moment.
Yeah.
When we had this trucker rally down in Ottawa, and the federal government gave banks the opportunity, the freedom, to shut down people's accounts so that they could not get to their money.
That's unjust.
Yeah, we know that happened.
Yeah, we did.
We know that happened. And they didn't do it silently. They did it publicly.
Very publicly, yeah.
And you wonder, because, you know, all the money that you have in the bank, Adam, and all of a sudden, because they don't agree, the government doesn't agree with some of the stands that you're taking or some of the people you're supporting, they just shut you down and say, you know what, you can't even use your money anymore.
You don't even get your money.
You can't even get your money. Yeah. You know, I have heard that, and you know, I don't disagree with this. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with this. But some people are taking their money out of the bank.
Yeah, I mean,
and you cannot underestimate the government when it comes to things that are going to happen, because if they can shut down somebody's bank account simply because they sent money to the truckers, who even the Conservative Party have marched with, so they're not insane.
Nope.
Marched with. You think about it. What if they disagree with some of the things that we're talking about in this program? Say, you know, we're going to shut down that little radio station in Creston. We don't like what they're saying.
Or even go to the next step. What happens if they say, well, you're not vaccinated, so we shut down your bank account?
Exactly. You're not vaccinated. We're going to shut down your bank account. You know, we talk about these things, and we think, that'll never happen. Well, it's already happened.
The scary thing is that how does the Canadian government have that much power to allow, like, to force banks to do that?
Exactly.
That shouldn't exist.
No.
At no time should a bank, without them handing, like, a judge from a courthouse, handing them, you know, a piece of paper that legally says that you need to suspend this account, they shouldn't just be like, call up Joe and, hey, Joe, shut down their accounts. That shouldn't happen. It shouldn't exist.
No. I disagree with that totally and completely. And I think a lot of Canadians have fallen asleep at the switch and not realized the authority and power that the government has and how they've been using it.
They overstepped their bounds, right? There are some laws that allow the government, or the courts, I should say, to shut down people's bank accounts
if it's a terrorist activity.
If they've been found criminally
responsible
for a crime or something like that, right? There is some, but like for a peaceful rally with bouncy castles,
I'm going to take my wife's advice and I'm going to end on a funny story, okay?
I'm ready.
Now, this story did not happen in far-flung Australia or even the deep south like Florida or Georgia. Or any of those places. It happened in New Westminster.
Okay.
Police in New Westminster are searching for the rightful owner of a wallet after a bizarre police chase involving a trio of raccoons. In an email to CTV News, the New Westminster Police Department says the masked bandits were seen taking off with someone's wallet in the 1400 block of 8th Avenue Thursday night. Now, I seen a picture with the raccoon having the wallet in his hand and running down the street. Now, think about it. The police could not... This is a true story. I'm not making this stuff up. I shared it with the men last Saturday morning at the prayer meeting.
Right.
But these raccoons were able to get away from the police. The police had to chase them. And finally, they retrieved the wallet from the raccoon's hand.
Yeah.
Now, you know they're already masked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they look masked, right? They are masked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was a funny story.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I thought I would end the program by talking about it. But as we always do, we have to end with the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1-4, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And my challenge to every believer out there is we need to come together.
Yes.
As his church. There are going to be rough days ahead, rough months ahead, and we need to come together, we need to pray together, we need to encourage each other as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say, the church is more than just Grace Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. We are the church. There's so many believers here in Creston from many different denominations and backgrounds. And we just need to come together and we need to pray like never before because we need God's help in this hour.
Yeah.
We see what's happening. We see what's taking place. And we just need God's help. We need to be crying out to God. We need to be asking God for direction, for leadership. We need his wisdom in all things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.